es.
Good morning, Rock Bible Church. Very excited. That was the fastest you guys have come out of break in, well, this year. So fellowship's important, but good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I was struck by one of the songs that we just sang. Love is here. Love is now. And I think it's a great message for us, because sometimes some of us doubt, and to remember that He is now, that He's here, hope active. I like the word immediacy. God does immediacy with us, and I'm working on doing immediacy with Him more. So, amen to that. Gentlemen, the break is over. This streak, the negative streak we've been on of taking Mondays off is over. Tomorrow night, right here, 7 p.m. When I say right here, I don't mean right here. I was looking at the weather. It's sausage and scripture time. Okay, we're changing the name to Men's Group to Sausage and Scripture. We're going to call it SASS. Okay, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, right out here behind the fellowship hall with the fire pit. Thank you. We're going to have the sausage cooker out there, and we'll get the Bible out, and we'll share a little bit and pray a little bit, and we'll help us all as men become better men the way He's designed it. Amen. All right. A couple things. We got a Mexico meeting coming up in 2 weeks, the 16th. Deposits are due. Who's going? We're going to try to build a house as we've done for 15 years, I think, now. Consecutively, some years more than one. We're going in June. I can answer all the questions about that. Would love for you to look into it. Come to a meeting, and it's non-committal. But if you're planning on going and want to go, you need to be at this meeting. All right, and we'll start figuring out dates and responsibilities. We'll talk to you about your passport and all that kind of stuff. All right, so if you have questions about that, you can see me after service. Or you talk to me next week, whatever. You have 2 weeks to get ready for it, okay? Did I say 16th? I did. March 15th, all right? Check everything that I say at this church, one of the few policies we have, all right? And then there's one more. Oh, yeah, today, membership class. For those of you who are interested, we have a membership class. It's 3 weeks. It's less than an hour each week. We're going to do it today. We're going to do it next week. And then we're going to do it again on the 22nd. So we're taking the 15th off. Why? Because there's a Mexico meeting, right? but we'd love to talk through you. What are the non-negotiables? What's the foundation, leadership structure? What's a theology church look like? For those of you who like to get in the weeds and down the rabbit trails, come with me. Right after service, we'll be in the fellowship hall, and would love to be part of that with you. Now, is membership class required for membership?
No.
We have a membership covenant. We're going to go through that. But if you want to get one of those and read through it and you feel good about it, you can just sign it, and then we'll sign it, and then membership has its privileges. Amen? All right. That's all I got. I guess we're done. Have a good afternoon. We've got so much fun to do today. We're going to finish the sixth chapter of Luke that we started last week. We stopped off about halfway through, and this morning we're going to continue, and we're going to look at what is a firm foundation? How do we get clarity? And I want to differentiate. There are things that our culture calls clear and true, And then there's what God calls clear and true. And we need to be able to maneuver our way through those and figure out how is it that God thinks? How is it God that places things in order? How is he, as we sang this morning, how is he now? What is he now doing, thinking, pushing? I want that more than ever. This is the oldest my three kids have ever been while I've been their parent. This is the oldest I've ever been being married. Things change, life changes, and we have challenges. It might be a little bit bummer Sunday because there's some rough stuff in this passage about when you get smacked, when you get abused, how do you handle it? What does God say about it? So we're gonna be deep in the woods, and there's great stuff to come out of it. I know there's so much that I know. Usually we have three fill-ins. There's four today, so you get an extra. So let's pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, thanks for the reality, the truth that comes from you, that you create, that you perpetuate. And then, Lord, help us as we try to maneuver, how to try to follow. Help us with our questions, our doubts. How about dreams, Lord? Creative things that we want to pursue. There's roadblocks to all of it, and Lord, we are easily distracted. Pray, Lord, that you would give us even more clarity this morning than when we walked in here, and that you might prep us for walking out of here with some confidence and joy because of our relationship with you, Lord. Give us a firm foundation this morning from your word, guided by your spirit. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. This is Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But I say to you who hear, shouldn't he be saying it to everybody? It's weird that he makes that distinction. I say this, but only some of you hear it. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Wait, what? I know you guys are very well loved in most all your circles. I'm not. I finally figured out you can be a pastor and love the Lord and try to stay true to scripture, and people will hate you and leave your church and write really mean things about you and mistreat you and avoid you in public and whatever. They take it out on your family and the whole thing, and it's like, all right, I guess this is the way it is. Now, I get the great job, apparently, of loving those people. And I do. One of the greatest things I love about them is when they find a different church. I don't need to be abused anymore, right? At the same time, do I need to kick them in the pants when they're leaving? No. No, I know most of you never have to deal with this kind of thing, so this lesson is probably mostly for me today. Okay, I say that with a little bit of sarcasm. Does that feel off? I mean, I joke and tell a goofy story or whatever, but doesn't that feel off? Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. You translate that, do good to those who do bad to you. I play soccer, not well, but I play it. And there have been so many times where people have kicked me. It's the weirdest thing. Because in soccer, the point of soccer is there's a ball. That's what you kick. And there have been several times where I have looked at my legs and thought, did I paint a ball on my leg? Why would they kick something that looks totally different than a ball? And learning how to deal with that. You're laying on the ground in pain. And what do I want to do? Okay, remember public school male testosterone. Well, I want to get up first, because then you can kick them better. Because kicking them from the ground, you're on the floor. It's not, I want to get up, and I just want to kick them just about the same as they kicked me. No, you're right. Robin, you're the only one that gets an A so far. No, I want to kick them a little harder than they kicked me. Because I want to teach them a... Yes. Is that my job? I've had to figure out that my foundation is off. My default is off. And really, I think with good conscience, all sarcasm, jokes, or comparisons aside, I think if we read that statement, it means that all of our foundations are off. And I have a verse for you. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are set in our own ways to promote who? Self. And learning how to promote God's premises, God's foundations, God's priorities, it is absolute learned behavior. I actually took classes on it. Seminary, right? That's what we're doing here. Do you know that's part of what we do on Sunday mornings? It was we're making an attempt at learning his, I love the word in the Old Testament, say precepts, that we might start to maybe understand them, but regardless of our level of understanding, follow. There's this one four-letter word in about obey. Ooh. I don't know if that makes sense to me. Does making sense qualify, obedience? I love my dad for teaching me this. When I was a wee little lad, Dad, I don't understand. I don't care. I'm your father. Do it. The greatest theology right there. Love that. He says, hey, people are going to hate you. They're going to mistreat you. Watch this one, verse 28. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Abuse is in the Bible. Wow. Name me an enemy that you prayed for in the last week. Ooh. Too soon? To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Wait, if I get smacked or stolen from, I'm just supposed to go with it? Here's your challenge, your mission, should you choose to accept it. The next time somebody smacks you, why don't you break out in, love is here. Love is now, right? There's a moment where all the chemicals, Doc knows this, I think it's the amygdala or something, and there's all these different chemicals that go off when you get smacked. Or you come home and your place is ransacked and you realize somebody broke in and they took the expensive stuff. They didn't take the stuff you were going to the dump with next week. They took all the stuff you really, really like. And what goes through you? Rage. How do you combat that? We gotta think like the Lord. How about you just give it away and say, "Hey, well, at least that's over." The trick that I like to play is the idea that God is sovereign. He's in control of all things. He orchestrates all things. Sometimes we call it predestination versus free will. If I get broken into and my stuff gets stolen, He ordained it. Glad that's over with. It was gonna happen no matter what. Little trick I try to play in my own head, right? Still working on the one when somebody smacks me. Wait, that was ordained? Oh, maybe I needed to be smacked. Maybe the Lord needed to get my attention. Maybe I did something. Maybe I didn't deserve to be smacked, but I got smacked anyways. Maybe I should, rather than worrying about getting smacked, maybe I should think about what did I do to set them off? Ooh. Now I'm worried about how do I work on myself, rather how do I work on them, and I stop asking the fair question. It's not fair. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. Man, that seems off. Verse 31. And as you wish others would do to you, do so to them. And this, my friends, is known as the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I memorized them in the older English version. Right? If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Apparently, we have to go above and beyond. Verse 33, if you do good to those who do good to you, what? Benefit. What's that word right there? Benefit. Wait a minute. Is God interested in benefiting us? Look at that. I've always read this. Hey, you know, you do good to those who do good to you. Well, what benefit is that to you? The emphasis being on you ought to do good to people that are less than good to you, because everybody is good to the people that are good to them. But it snuck up on me this week, that benefit word. It's like, wait a minute. There's some payoffs here that are beyond you doing good and they doing good. What would that benefit be? I love that question. I have no answer for you this morning. What would the benefit be? I don't know. Character development? Better understanding of the Lord? Maybe calm and peace in my spirit? I don't know. But I want to find out what that benefit is. I like good and more, extra, free, all those good words. Right? All right, Lord, what are you going to give me? Even sinners do the same. Verse 34, and if you lend to those who from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Kind of like benefit. God wants us to get some credit. You know, I grew up with a little bit of an absolutist perspective to theology. Or my churches where I grew up, it's like only God is good. We're all sinners. We're not. He gets credit for everything, and you get credit for nothing, and we're all deserving of death. And I was like, ooh, I better get my act together. I better accept Jesus for my fire insurance. And I started reading the Bible, and you start finding things like, wait, no, God does want to bless us. He does want to benefit us. There are good things that we can be a part of that he ordains for us to be in. Let's find out what all those are. Quit talking about how terrible we all are. As I read that stuff about how terrible we are, what do I look for in other people? Huh? It's terrible to look for terrible in other people. How about we think, you know what? People should get some credit. There are benefits to following the Lord. What credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, and they make way more money than us. To get back the same amount, but love your enemies. Love your enemies. Do good. Lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be. Now, I like benefit and I like credit. What do I like even more? I love rewards. I go to a restaurant and the restaurant decides that they like us and they bring us out like a free anything. I feel like I won the lottery. Like, oh my gosh. What if God is similar? You're obedient, you follow, you're patient, you put up with, you turn a cheek. And God says, they're starting to get it. Here, let's slide a little blessing over there, a little reward over there. And you will be sons of the Most High. Why does that last? You save the best for last? I mean, a benefit, credit, reward, those are all good. But what if you were adopted? When somebody chooses to legally make you part of family, it changes eternity. My grandfather did that for my dad, John Frederick Berglund. I'm going to marry Melba, even though she has a kid, and he will be mine. There's Berglunds all over. There's an 11-month-old that just learned to climb stairs in Phoenix. Saw a video of it. How'd that happen? Someone got brought into the family. We want to be in God's family. Now, There's a prerequisite, a caveat, a non-negotiable. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. What? Do we find examples of that anywhere in our culture where people are kind to the ungrateful and the evil? They're kind to them? I mean, how poignant is it right now? Based on the state of the world and what's going on. Man, we go after the opposite side. Let's get violent. Let's shed blood. God says, no, no, no. It's not who we are. How do we be loving? How do we show them how God works? That's one of the greatest things. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, you will not be judged, verse 37. Condemn not, you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Is that a conditional statement? Wait, I was told that God's love is unconditional. Amen? Anybody heard that? God's love is unconditional. He loves you unconditionally. I love that. I want that to be true in the biggest of ways. But what's that say? I love when the scripture looks like it contradicts itself. He loves us even though we're ungrateful and evil. Amen? He lets us in the family. And then he says, and here's a condition. I expect you now to be merciful, be loving, be kind, do good, be in the family, and act like it. I love that. I wish more Christians did it. I really wish more church people did it. I have quite a few friends in ministry. And you know what pastors talk about when they get together and no parishioners are around? You know what we talk about? We talk about you. We talk about how just evil church people can be. Yeah, oh, it's hilarious. They share stories, and I think to myself, oh, I love Rock Bible Church. At least I don't have that, right? Do you know church people? They're worse than Christians. Wait, aren't those the same? Kinda. Not really. But man, once we know each other and we're in the same family, you know who abuses you more than anybody? Your own family. Right? I got one up there. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. Wow. That sounds conditional, folks. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into the pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. What's that saying? It's saying, be like Christ. Will you ever be Christ? Never. You'll never be as good as him. But what's the goal? What's the standard? That's what we're working towards. He went to the cross and died for you. That's the standard? He says, yeah. Don't forget it, not even when you eat bread and wine. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye? You do not notice the log that is in your own eye. How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye when you yourself don't see the log that's in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Speck or log, which one's bigger? Which one do you have again? You have the bigger problem. I'm trying to remember always that whatever I see in other people, smaller than I think. It is smaller than I think. And how do I get my act together that I can actually help them, bless them? Do you know how many people disagree with me? This is a kind of a trick question. Okay. A lot is close. The number is higher than that. Most is a good answer. All people disagree with me at some point. You are unique on this planet. Praise the Lord. Man, that's one of the greatest theologies. That you are loved to the point of he designed you unique and individual. He wanted you to be. That's why you're still breathing. That's why you're on the planet. What's the purpose in life? God wanted you here. That's such a great reason. And for that reason, you're going to be different than everybody. And so from time to time, even after 31 years of marriage, you're going to land on different pages. That's the best way to say it. Right? And how much better do I do when I assume I'm wrong and the other one's right? I won't point them out right now. I got the log, they got the speck. How do I make room for them? I remember that he made room for me. And he made room for them. Love that. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorn bushes or grapes picked from bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. Okay. All right. That's what I want to be. And the evil person out of the evil, what? Is that word again? Evil treasure? And the evil person, they treasure evil in their heart? Do you know that they're out there? I mean, one, don't be one. Two, recognize them when you run into them and protect yourself. Get out of the way. Move on. Because they will produce fruit all over you. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Wow. My mom says it this way. When you hear somebody say something, believe them. Recognize what they're saying. Rather than try to fix them or convince them. By the way, have any of you been able to change someone else's political party? I've never been able to lead somebody to Christ. I'm a pastor of a seminary degree. I've been a Christian since I was like middle school, right? I came to church for the wrong reasons. There was girls there. I've never led a single person to Christ. Hey, honey, we might be at the wrong church. What do I mean by that? God does it. God always does it. We just help best we can. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he's like. By the way, this is part of how we named our church. This passage right here. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. And when the stream broke against it, immediately it fell. Remember I said immediacy earlier? Immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. I want to have fun. Keep this up there for me, James. Dot right there. I want to have a little fun with this. When a house gets ruined, is that great? Have you ever had like water damage or foundational work, something's cracking. I'm like, oh no, we're going to move that. You ever have the roof fail in the house? Yeah, we have the roof failing at Rock Bible Church right now, right? We're going to come to you in a little while and say, we got to fix the roof. Who's going to help, right? Why would he say that the ruin of that house was great? It was a full ruin. It was a large ruin. Is that what they're getting at? Yes. What about this one? Because this is the way I've been starting to think about it. And I like what this does in my head. When you do God the wrong way, when you hear and disobey, when you hear and ignore, when you do your own thing and you encourage others to do, and when your life goes poorly and starts to crash, that is great. What, Scott? That sounds so mean, hateful. No, it's proof that the system works one way, God's way, and he's showing you, he's giving you a lesson. It's like when Dad would show up and you tore apart the speaker for the stereo system in the house because you heard that there's big magnets inside the speaker and you wanted a really big magnet. That really happened. I'm surprised I'm alive today. He was so mad. He had to point out to me, this is not how life works. You're grounded, you're busted, you're spanked, whatever. I can't remember. I just know I got a ton of trouble. It went on for weeks. And did I ever touch a speaker that way again? Did I ever tear apart a speaker ever again? No, speakers are sacred now. Like the AV team, don't even let me touch the mic cords and stuff. It's like, Scott, stay out of the way. Don't touch any buttons either. We have to know how life works. What's a real foundation? A firm one. One that works. So when everything hits the fan, you're still standing. I love that. You know that phrase, last man standing? That's what I want to be with the Lord. I want to be last man standing. No matter who follows, no matter who falls away, no matter what my family does to me, no what my friends say about me, no matter what they post. Oh, you posters. I want to be last man standing with the Lord. Amen? How do we do it? First, you got to ask some questions. Before you can do anything, before you can analyze scripture, you got to ask some questions. First one is, what's going on here? Because it said people are going to hate me and then I'm supposed to, do I have to like them? I don't know. I got to love them, but I'm supposed to do good to them and they abuse me. I'm supposed to pray for them. I gotta ask a question. What's the question I gotta ask? It's a question about judgment because I thought, I mean, Scott, you even said it, man. When somebody's evil and they got treasured evil in their heart, we gotta recognize them, get away. That sounds like good judgment. And yet at the same time, as you're going away, I'm supposed to pray for them? Man, this feels off. And the question that most of culture, most women, most men will never ask, afraid to ask. Too dangerous, too painful. Whose judgment's off? Mine or his? Mine or his? And I love this about our Lord. This is why I believe in irony and sarcasm and all the twisted stuff, because I think he's got a great sense of humor. God has given us so many reasons to doubt this story. What, full-grown man walking on water? Come on. Lady sick her whole life and what, just touches his robe and all of a sudden she's not sick anymore? Come on. How many more stories or examples could I give? And at the end of it, you could say, come on. It's like almost every story. Some dad's going to put his own kid on the altar, tie him up and have the knife in the air like he's about to take his life and I'm not doing that. There's so many stories make no sense that will make you question, is God's judgment off? My question is, are you willing to do the work to find all the arguments on the other side? That there are laws of science that simply do not work when it comes to explaining us being here. Energy and matter cannot be created or destroyed. Where did it all come from? There's so many great examples that God exists, that he's here and it's now. Couples who cheated on each other, drained the bank account, went off on a vacation with their lover in another country, and come back and they reconcile? That they would even sit with the pastor at a coffee shop once, let alone every single week for 2.5 years. And then they're holding hands in church and love each other. Sometimes we get invited to dinner. How did that happen? It doesn't happen in science. It doesn't happen with people who question, I don't know if Lazarus really got raised from the dead. How could you make that much food from 5 loaves and 2 fish? Those people never come up with the answer because they're worried that God's judgment is off and theirs isn't, which is scariest thing on the planet, because they've just taken God off the throne, and who did they just make God? Self. It's my favorite line for atheists. Don't use this line. Oh, Scott, I'm an atheist. Oh, that's convenient, because then you get to be God. It's never worked for me. Don't use that line. You got to ask the question, whose judgment is off? Because you read some of these things. They smack me. I'm supposed to turn the other cheek. That's the last thing I think of. And I got candidates for that list. People that I should turn the other cheek for. Here's what scares me the most. How many other people am I on their list? Because of how I carried myself, because what I did, because what I said, or what I failed to do that I said I would. I need to start asking myself the question, am I the one that's off? When I come to the conclusion that I'm the one that's off, that being off is natural for me, it's a default, I'm a professional, then what do I do regularly? Hey, can I get some help over here? You know what I'm doing right now? I'm getting help. Do you know anyone Monday nights at 7 o'clock out behind a fire with the sausages? I'm getting help. You know what I do when I ask my spouse, honey, did you notice anything? Was I off? Do you know how hard it is to accept help? It is? I know, not for you guys. For me, just for me. It's hard to accept help. Do you know why you go to church, read your Bible, maybe go to a men's group or listen to your spouse or, hey, Lord forbid this, the correction of your own children? You know one of the greatest benefit of those things is learning to take instruction from outside. And when you learn to take instruction from outside, then who's open to giving you instruction? God himself. I think one of my greatest prayers for you is that in a moment when something hits, rather than you having to go get your Bible or call Scott or say a prayer, that by instinct you know, I'm going to reserve myself, I'm going to do this, that I know what God wants me to do here because we're that acquainted. I know he's on and I know I'm off. Once you get there, well, then you got 3 more options for you. They actually come from this verse. Everyone who comes to me, hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. There's your fill-ins right there. Come, hear, do. Right? From that verse. Second fill-in, come. What's that mean? It means something comes, T, and we read this twice, and I mean, the first one made sense. The second one made zero sense. That there would be treasure in an evil person's heart. What you treasure comes from your heart. You like what you like. Gotta ask the question, why do you like it?
I got to teach them a lesson. I twisted the knife.
Geez, Scott, you're a little scary. What? Oh, I don't have my knife with me. Darn. Why do you treasure what you treasure? How do you condition your heart? I heard this story. This guy I know. Something's going on. Literal heart. You know, the one that's connected to veins and stuff, pumps the blood. And he has changed his lifestyle. I don't want to change my lifestyle. I just want to keep doing what I'm doing. Why did he change his lifestyle? He has a heart condition. And he's trying to fix his heart. It's great theology. Because spiritually, that's how it works, right? So treasure comes from your heart. For us, it can be good or evil. When we look at the Lord or Jesus himself, this is affirming as to his heart condition. And we recognize what God treasures. That's like the path for fixing our own heart. And he says, yeah. These ungrateful, evil people, these people that are abusive and they'll smack you. Not only did I die for them, I also created them. And I created them unique and special. And they need some fixing. My job, God speaking, my job to fix them. You pray for them. Be nice, be good. Give them no reason to doubt me or question if my judgment's off. Yeah, it's so bad out there. There's some people out there who think that they're not worth anything, that they shouldn't be here. There's people that you are around, and you don't even know this. They think about taking their life. It's one of the saddest things I ever hear. Why would you think that? Because the foundation got off. And we got to get back to the creator of foundations. Amen? Number three, here. You're not gonna get this one. You're not gonna get this one. I said I like benefits. I like a benefit from things that I do. And he says, you know, you're supposed to do this, and then you'll do this. Forgive, because your Father forgives, right? And then he says you'll get your reward. So benefits come from, it's not reward, and it's not benefit. Benefits come from, believing has no action in it. Benefiting is a good way, but then we'd be using the word twice. I like it a different way. Blessings. When you bless somebody, that's where benefit starts to come from. That's when God says, okay, let me slide the reward over. And one of the greatest things for us to do is to get out of ourselves, serve someone else, be a blessing to someone else, cure someone else, pray for someone else. The more you can learn how to do that, better you'll be. Where's your prayer list? Who's on it? That's one of your best exercises. You know how long it takes to pray for somebody? Dear Lord, I pray that you would bless Fred today. How long did that take? Maybe not even 2 seconds, right? Come up with a few more people. Fred, he's going to be fine. I just prayed for him. Come up with some other people to pray for, all right? 31. I put this in red and I bolded it and I put a question mark on it, right? Can we pull this one up maybe? I don't know. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. We said that's the golden rule. How do they want to be treated? What if rather than a command, it's a threat. This is how you're going to be treated. You're going to be treated the way you treat other people. Ooh, I like it the positive way, the first way. Right? All right, last one. Yeah, that one lyric, I'll get to that in a second, James. Do. Clarity comes from obedience. You want to be clear? You understand? You want it to go well? Pressed down, shaken together, dropped right in your lap? You want reward? How about you actually try the things he's said for us to do? How about you avoid the things he's said to avoid? Oh, good shepherd, I'll follow you where you lead. Because the steps you've tested, your steps tested the strength of the ground before me. I like that. Hold on a second, Scott. I'm just going to walk this real quick. Step where I step, okay? I kind of like that. What about this one? Rather than he tested the steps and the ground, what if he set the strength of the ground you're going to walk on? What if he intentionally made parts of it weak and parts of it strong to see if you'd obey and step where you're supposed to? Ooh, that'd be different. Which one is it? Has he tested the ground, or did he set the strength of the ground? He did both, didn't he? He's created everything. Then, despising the shame, took human form and walked the earth, walked the path. Tempted in every way and yet without sin. See, this is how it works. If you've never accepted that foundation, if you've never said, all right, I'm going to give up the throne. I'm gonna let God be in charge. I'm going to trust that Jesus is my foundation, that thinking like him, acting like him, and changing the way I look at life, people, love, how I even define abuse anymore. If you've never done that, it's a simple ask. And I said it at the beginning, it's why it's at the top. You got to get past that first question. Whose judgment is off? If you can get to that question where you ask and say, Lord, I know I'm off. I need you from this day forward. And I will call you Lord, Lord. And I will do what you say. And then I want you to put me on a firm foundation that no matter what comes, I will stand and there will be no great ruin of my house. Literally, you could pray today, Lord, I want that. What Scott just said. But make it personal and then let us know. We want to help you guys. That's why we're here. I signed up for this gig. Amen? Lord, thanks for what we see today. Thank you for passages that look like they're 3-4 different things and really they all tie together. And thanks for allowing us to understand what little we do and giving us opportunity to continue to follow. Pray that gives us a new definition as to the value of others. The truth that is yours. And I pray, Lord, you would use all of it to help us choose our steps. And choose steps that follow you. We thank you for the offering that we're about to receive, Lord. Pray you would use it, bless it, and that no one would feel obligated to give. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 15 minutes, Fellowship Hall, membership class. We're starting on theology of the church. You might not have seen me have that much fun. Just saying. May he be your foundation. Amen? Go with him.